Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy. Amen. Been talking about becoming vessels of honor. Sanctification is not just a one-time event. It's a process that we will carry on as long as we're in this body, as long as we're on this earth in this body. Sanctification, how I define it, is not only separation from sin. It's not about having a do list and a do not list. See, it's not about I did this and about my performance. If it's all about the do list and do not, it would go back to the law. So it's not about that. It's not about keeping a list. Because listen, if you try to keep a list, you won't have a book long enough, big enough, enough pages. Because there'll always be something else. So what God does, He'll shine a light on a certain area that He wants you to clean up in. Because He wants you to be a vessel of honor that's set apart for His glory. Amen. That, see, we're talking about hearts that are clean. Clean hearts. Amen. Amen. Clean lips. It starts with the heart, doesn't it? Yes. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we get the heart clean. Our mouth will become clean. Then we go to our thought life. Thoughts become clean. That's what God wants to do. And now, He will not dump the whole load on us at one time. We know that. He's merciful. He has shined a light on a certain area, this area, that area, a little bit of a time. What's He trying to do? He's trying to get us to be a vessel of honor. That's what we're getting into, what we're studying. So if you're in 2 Timothy, let's go to verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. Let's start with, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, everyone in this, I talked a little bit this last time. Everybody here in your house, you have vessels. Miss Joanne has Tupperware. You know that special place you put Tupperware, you open up the door and things fall out? And you try to find the right lid for the right one, and I'm talking about that one. We have all kinds. I don't ever go in there. I don't go there. And I also don't go in the china cabinet. It's off limits to me. So they're vessels. The china is for special occasions. Thanksgiving. That's about it, maybe. I don't know. I don't see them that often. Thanksgiving. Tupperware is about every day. Then we have the special slop bucket that you put your scrap, your food into, you know. We call it the slop bucket. That's a vessel. Amen. I also have a wheelbarrow in the garage. I use that all the time. That's a vessel. It hauls things. It holds things. Come on. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Verse 21, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now notice that phrase, if anyone cleanses himself. So that means you're not waiting on God. You may think you're waiting on God, but God's really waiting on you. Now, just like I talked about the wheelbarrow, a wheelbarrow cannot go from a natural wood barrel or a slop bucket, cannot go from that type of vessel to being fine china. But we can, as vessels for God's glory. He has designed us that we can. We have the ability to be transformed from maybe, you know, whatever vessel you are to be like the, okay, it's like this, being transformed from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Now, it doesn't matter how much I decorate the slop bucket. It's a slop bucket. It doesn't matter how many flowers I paint on it or on my wheelbarrow. It's still a wheelbarrow. And there is no way I'm going to eat out of the wheelbarrow. So it's going to stay in the garage where it's supposed to be. But for you and me, saints, we can be changed. We can go from one state, or you may be in a place where, you know, I'm not doing too good. But saints, God, just like the song, He never stops working. Amen. The potter has got you on the wheel, and he's got his hands on you, working on you all the time. Amen. Sometimes you can feel that pressure. Come on, you know. It's called a sufferings for Christ, sufferings in Christ, sufferings of the flesh. The flesh hates the change. The flesh hates it every minute of it. It will fight you 24/7. That's where the big battle is, your flesh. Amen. Amen. But we are well able. Hallelujah. Okay then. You say, okay then. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be used of God for good works, don't you? Doing the works of Jesus. I mean, the list goes on. Well, the question is, where does it begin? Tell me, brother. Tell me, where do I start? Okay, look at verse, back up and look at verse 15. This is where it begins. Everything we do, it always begins with the Word. You start with the Word. It says here, be diligent some of the time. No, I'll say now, let's back it up. Be diligent. So we've got to take it serious, don't we? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. See, not only did God give us this word, He also gave us a teacher so that we can know the word, the Holy Spirit. So now I'm talking about the word of truth, and the Holy Spirit, which the Bible calls the Spirit of truth. They work together. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, always magnifies the word. That's His job. When I was in school, first grade, not only did they give me a book, even though I really didn't need a teacher at that time, I was well advanced. Well, I didn't go to kindergarten. Because they saw my potential, it was okay. Shelby knows better than believe that. They had no kindergarten back then. So they forced me into first grade. I'm still not over it. I guess I gotta get over it. But anyway, in the first grade, they gave me a book. But guess what? There's always a teacher there to teach me what was in the book. Man. Now, here it says we're to be diligent, right? He also gives us an example of two guys. I think it's in verse 16 and 17, or verse 17. Two rebels who did not rightly divide the word, who was not approved of God, and they led many into error. Just because they didn't take the time to rightly divide. In other words, they went on the ministry field, on their mission field or whatever their calling was, teaching, whatever they were called, they left without God's approval. They weren't ready for it. They weren't rightly dividing the word. That's what happens when we don't divide the word rightly. We don't take the time to learn from the master. Amen. We get into trouble. And people try to walk. When I first started, when we first started our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we were born again, that path was pretty wide. Right?
Amen.
But as we go on in sanctification, as we go on with Him, that path begins to constrict a little bit, becomes a little bit narrow, a little bit more over time. And you want to make sure you're following Jesus. You don't want to, you know, like these two guys, I heard one minister said this, if people aren't calling you, then you're not ready to go out. God's not calling you. Anyway. So anyway, they left, they got out of the path. They should have stayed on the path where the light was still shining because they weren't ready. They got out of the light, out of the path, and then they got it, which is air. Come on. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you. If you're not following Jesus, He's not making you. You're doing something else on your opinion. You're following not the mind of Christ, but you're following the mind of man. And now you're in error because you didn't stick on the path where Jesus can make you. Make you what? Well, the verse is fishers of men, but it's where your calling is. You got to stick to the path. And in this verse, it says, be diligent to present yourself. This is big. In the walk of sanctification, to the idea of presenting yourself. Listen, I'll tell you right now, God is not after your great ability. He's not after your great talent. He wants you to surrender self to Him. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We get the same type of reading about, of course, we know this is pretty common scripture too. We all know it, but it's good to look at it. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your body. See, the same terminology is here. To present your body. God wants your whole body. Excuse me. Present your whole body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, I get it, Pastor. Okay, present your body. In other words, He wants your whole, all your instrument, all your members. And there's one member that He wants. The devil wants it too. Anytime I start praying, not all the time, I would say 95% of the time, maybe it's 99% of the time, my mind goes to this verse because I want to put myself in a place of surrender. I don't want my mind drifting when I pray. I don't want my body doing this, my mind's doing that. I want my body in union, unity. And if I can get my body surrendered to Him, that is probably the biggest thing. Let me get it back up here. I'm getting an echo. So what do you mean, Pastor, about your tongue? I'm talking about, I believe this is a reference to praying in the Holy Spirit. Because He wants your tongue surrendered to Him. In other words, the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. So if you can yield your tongue, when you put your body on the altar and you surrender yourself, you're not surrendering yourself until your tongue is surrendered. Saints, I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. So it's praying in the Holy Spirit. That's a part of it. I'm not saying that's everything He's talking about, but I am saying that's a big chunk of presenting your body to Him. So now we have two things. We have presenting ourselves to God in His Word as being a worker, a workman of His Word. And here we have, we're presenting our body to Him as a sacrifice. Hey, listen, we want God's best, don't we? I mean, everyone in here wants God's best. But the question is, are we giving Him our best? Well, you know, I pray every now and then, brother, when it's convenient. Yeah, just last month, I stuck it out for 10 minutes. You know, I know, and even in my own life, I can carve out more than just 10 minutes each day. I believe we all have time that we can carve out and give. All right? So I'm not saying this is some type of law, but this is New Testament talk. He says, present, I beseech you, brethren. One translation says, I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God. Basically, it's a surrendering. Everything to Him. Not parts, everything. And then it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, here we go, what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now there you go. There's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The only way you're going to know that is by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. There are some things the Word of God, you don't know. I mean, it's general. But the promptings of the Holy Spirit go into detail. See, something happens when we give ourselves over to Him. The Holy Spirit begins to work on the inside. He begins to awaken your conscience. I mean, in other words, you have an unction or just something that, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. That's your conscience speaking. And a lot of that is because you're spending time in the Word and praying in the Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit begins to awaken your conscience. Now your conscience will begin to tell you, you know, you really shouldn't have that attitude you have. What attitude? I'm fine. Okay. And He'll keep telling you. You go to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you will bring it back up again. Until you get it. Until you do something with it. I'm convinced of this. I am convinced that, yeah, you can just brush it off to the side and you become callous to it. But I also believe if you are constantly praying and constantly in the Word, the Holy Spirit will never drop it. He will remind you and remind you and remind you and remind you. Remind you until you get it because He cares about you. You might as well do it now. Things you need to purge, you might as well just do it now because you will be purged. I don't want to wait till I'm at the judgment seat of Christ and I'm standing before Him. I won't have nothing to say because I've been given time, unction, whatever you want to call it, over and over again, and I never did anything about it. Now I'm standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and now I've got to say, what's my excuse? Then he'll purge you then. See, now if I'm obedient and allow the Holy Spirit to purge me, hey, listen. Everyone who bears fruit will be purged. That's what Jesus said. You're going to be purged. Sometimes I feel like I'm nothing but nubs. There's nothing else to purge. Then later on, He brings up something else. Well, okay. I guess I'm not done. But God's into rewards. If you will purge yourself, there's a reward not only in heaven, but on this earth. The Bible said God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He just likes to give rewards. So, you know, just do it now. But the flesh doesn't want to. That's our big thing. So the Holy Spirit will deal with you on a constant basis. He won't leave you alone. Well, I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to be a gentleman. That is a gentleman. They're right there. He's constantly warning you. Get rid of it. Listen. There's a lot of things God wants to do in our lives. But we hit a ceiling. Help me, Lord, to explain this. It's like when I was a child, when I was about 7, 8 years old, I was a tree climber. All I needed was a power saw and a hard hat, I'd be set. But there are certain trees I couldn't really get up in and go up very far. I was limited. Not the height. Forget about that. I was limited on my going up the tree because there are so many limbs in my way. This particular tree, dead limbs, a bunch of limbs, I mean, just all over the place. And I could not get up in there to go up a little higher. That's the way it is spiritually. God wants to take us up higher, but sometimes there's limbs that need to be purged. The soul. I'm talking about the soul. I'm not talking about the spirit man. The spirit man is saved. Your candle is lit. The more you pray in the Holy Spirit, the brighter the candle gets. I'm not talking about the spirit man, the hidden man. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the soul. It's the soul that needs to be saved. It's the soul that needs to be transformed. It's the soul. So there's strongholds in the soul. We're called these limbs. They're up above us. And sometimes we say, it could be in finances, it could be whatever it is. We keep hitting the same ceiling above us, and we can't seem to get up over that. Well, those are strongholds. And praying in the Spirit is another weapon that it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 5? Pulling down strongholds, it talks about our weapons are mighty. Well, one of our mighty weapons is praying in the Holy Spirit. Don't take it lightly, praying in the... I don't have time to even go into that. I think we pretty well know here that praying in the Spirit is vital. It's a mighty weapon at our disposal. So as we pray in the Spirit, as we meditate and get into the Word of God, those limbs that's keeping us down, those strongholds that's preventing us from going higher, can be removed. See, it's a good thing, saints. I'm telling you, it's a good thing when the Holy Spirit tells you that you need to purge this or you need to clean up in this area. That's a good thing. Why is that, Pastor? I don't think it's very good. Because whenever He tells you to get rid of something, there's power available for you to do it. You can mark it down. When He's dealing with you, there is the power source. He's in you, the greater one. He will help you to purge it. You can't do it. I'll say that right now. You cannot do it in yourself. But with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you can. Amen. Turn with me to, Romans chapter 8. Just a couple chapters back. Purging. Saints, I want everything God has for me. Everything. And I want to fulfill my calling. I want it all. Well, I won't get it all unless I'm purging. If I don't allow the Holy Spirit to purge, and if I'm not obedient doing my thing, being obedient to Him, it's not going to happen. But here, this what I'm trying to get at is, let's see. I want to go to verse 13. It says, if we live, are you there? If we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if we live by the Spirit, now get this. This is the key. If you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's not by your willpower. It's by the Spirit. You put to death the deeds of the body. So that's one means right there, by the Spirit. Now, go to verse 26. Likewise,
The Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You get that? Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Well, what's our weakness? We don't know what to pray about. There are some things of
There's just certain things I don't know even how, you know, I could pray in my natural, you know, natural mind, but there's some things I will have to have the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit, in order to break through, because I am very limited in the flesh. That weakness, if you look that up, it's talking about our inability to get the results in ourselves. We just don't have the ability. It's a weakness. But if we turn ourselves over, if we'll give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to make the intercession for us, things we don't even know how to pray or what to pray about. We just know I got a problem. It may be finance. I just know there's an issue there. So if I'll just turn myself over and allow the Holy Spirit to pray out those mysteries, then the Holy Spirit at one time or it may be at sometimes it's then, usually it's later, He'll bring to the surface, He'll bring into light what you need to do. But that comes by praying in the Spirit. Don't get so excited. I think it's a great thing that we can pray about our future. We can pray, you know, just praying in, you know, a lot of times I just pray in the Holy Spirit because those things I don't know what's the main event. I know we pray for the president. That's the first thing. But as far as my personal life, I just got to turn myself over to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to take charge. Amen. And there's some things He'll tell you and some things He won't tell you on purpose because they're a secret. And at the proper time, He'll tell you. But if He told you too much or told you too soon, guess what? You'll try to do it. So you just keep praying. You believe God. And you do what the Word says. And it goes on to say, listen, this is the good thing, because if we pray in the Spirit and put His Word first, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Notice, we know that all things work together for the good. Well, why would it work together for the good? Because you've given yourself over to the Holy Spirit. You prayed the perfect will of God, not just partial. You gave yourself over and He was able to use your tongue because you surrendered yourself to Him. Now, you're praying the perfect prayer and all things work together for the good. Amen. So, what are you saying, Pastor Chuck? I'm saying we give the Holy Spirit first place, praying in the Holy Spirit. We give God first place in His Word. Meditation, reading, studying, the Holy Spirit will begin to shine light on areas of your life that you need to purge. Now here comes the next one. You have to be obedient. Well, hallelujah. Obedience, obedience. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We're going to wrap this up here in a few minutes. I didn't think it'd take very long, but Mark chapter 4. Are you there? Mark 4:24. It says, "Take heed to what you hear. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." God is saying, if you will use the measure that I give you, I'll give you more. Let's read that again. God's saying it. If we do the word, the more God gives you. Doesn't that make sense? He's measuring back. The measure that you use, He measures back to you. And the measure, so you could start, so now He's measuring back to you. See, now we're talking about acceleration. You can actually accelerate the sanctification process. I'm not saying you'll finish it, you'll work on it for as long as you're on this earth, but you can accelerate it just by being obedient. And if my knowledge exceeds my obedience, then what I have be taken from me. So we want to be on the side that we're walking in obedience to His word, and then He's measuring it back to us. Listen, this is directly tied to the sower sows the word. Well, it is the granddaddy of all parables, right? He's still talking about that parable. It is directly related, it's in direct connection with that parable. I am very much interested in the 30, 60, 100-fold return. This is one of the keys to that parable. The Bible says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, right? Philippians chapter 2. Other words, another way of saying that is obey the truth. Obey the word. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. He's working in you. Other words, we obey the truth and He transforms us. We obey, He transforms. That process goes on, back and forth. He gives us light. We walk it out. The walk of obedience. The devil hates us. Not only does he, anything to do with God's word, praying in the Spirit, he will fight you tooth and nail. Because he knows that measure coming back to you, more revelation, more light, more of God's presence, more of Him. I mean, it goes on and on. When I was a child, we'd come home from, actually, I don't know where we came home from because we never went anywhere. I don't know. But we would come into the house, turn the lights on, and I want to say this, there'd be cockroaches. It did bother me a bit. I know it bothered you. So you turn the light on, what do? There's one. I got this one. It was a game. I wish we went more places. Come back. It's our entertainment of the day. It's what we... But I'm serious. I'm not putting any no jam on it. I'm serious. I still don't know where we came from. I'm serious about that too. But that's how it is in the spirit too. The devil wants to work in the dark. He don't want light. He runs. Saying, I want all the light possible. I want revelation, because I'll take that revelation and I'll walk it right on out. I'll use it. So we have, listen, as we turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, as we turn ourselves over to the Word of God, and as we walk it out in obedience, we become vessels of honor that God can use. Amen. For His glory. That's what it's about. It's not about, you know, us looking good. That's about Him. It's about lifting up Jesus. It's about Him. It's about us being a vessel full. That's one of Paul's prayers. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 3. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. You get filled with the fullness of God. Then you get into verse, I think, then you get into verse 20. Yeah. He's more than able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So you get full of God, the blessings always... listen, let me say this. Let me close. It's not like we are joint heirs with Jesus. Right? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. There's so much that belongs to us through Jesus Christ, just by that covenant relationship. But until we are at a place that we could handle that wealth, a lot of times I think a lot of Christians are not able. God's not releasing finances. I'm not. Now you cannot go around and say, well, you don't have finances. You don't have this because you're not very spiritual. That's hogwash. It is. But a vessel that's full of His glory, a vessel that's full with the fullness of God, God's able to do more for you. In other words, you are a mature person in the Spirit. You can be trusted. Amen. Well, hallelujah. God's good. Amen. And I wrote down one verse, and this is it. I got it written down. I always go to this verse from time to time, just to examine myself. And it's always good. I mean, in Psalms 139, verse 23, it says, "Search me, O God." This is David. David is a man after God's own heart, right? "Search me, examine me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." I like this part. "Point out anything in me that offends you." I don't want anything in my life that would offend God. I just... It says, "Point out anything in me that would offend you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Search me, O God. Examine me. Test me. If there's anything wrong in me, let me know. And of course, the Holy Spirit will. But I like to go over that. I like to just rehearse it in my mind, because that's the kind of life that I want to present to God. I want to be a vessel. I don't want my vessel dirty. I don't want a bunch of junk in there. I want it clean for the Master. Why? Because I want to do His works for His glory. Amen. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.